Welcome to the room. We're about to start a study in, not start, this would be part three actually, of the study of Paul's mixed multitude. And last lesson we started with going through a review of Exodus 12, and we saw mentioned there Moses' mixed multitude of Israelites coming out of Egypt and the Exodus, and along with them some Gentiles that believed and wanted to be on, well, on Israel's side, the good side of God, I guess you could say. They realized that God was working through Israel in the world, and if they wanted to be on God's good side instead of bad side, they needed to side with Israel. So with that in mind, we're going to be studying Paul's mixed multitude in the Bible. Let's look at several passages that clearly show that Paul always presented the gospel of God before he presented the gospel of Christ that saves believers. And we've gone through this sometimes, but right here in these first two verses, Acts 17, 2 and 3, we'll see what the gospel of God is. It's defined more clearly, if there's any question, in Romans, the first four verses of Romans. Romans 1, 1 to 4. But here we're going to read Acts 17, starting with verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So his reasoning involved the Scriptures. And verse 3 says, so opening, so he opened the Bible, and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. In other words, the Messiah they had been looking for. Christ means Messiah. And after having to leave Thessalonica too soon, getting run out of town, Paul wrote back to them in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, and he says what it was that he had preached to them. When he opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that Jesus was Christ. What does he call that? 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. There he names it. He identifies which gospel it is. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3, 2, Paul says he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. They had heard the gospel of God, but not yet the gospel of Christ. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead, from the gospel of God. But they didn't know how to be saved by that. That's what the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, told them. And it's the same saving message that we're saved by today, that Christ died for our sins. Our sins are died for. They're not on our account anymore. What's on our account? God traded that. He took it. He took the death penalty for us, dying for our sins, and he gave us the righteousness of God in our account. Pretty great. That's a good trade. So, reading chapter 3, verse 2 again, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. And believing the gospel of Christ is the first of three steps in being established that we've studied before in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. So, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Excuse me, I feel a sneeze coming up. Let me get this muted here. So, let's look at Acts 20, verse 21, a summary of what he had preached at the beginning, it's called a dispensation of the gospel, where he's dispensing this gospel of Christ as a new gospel, had to be given out in an introductory manner. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Notice it's not to all Gentiles yet, just to the Greeks, those Gentiles that feared God and sought the wisdom and knowledge of God, blessed Israel, coming to the synagogues to hear the scriptures. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Well, that's what he read about there in Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen from the dead, and that this Jesus is Christ. They didn't believe that. They had to repent toward God about who his son is, who it was that came and the only one eligible to die for my sins and to die for your sins. Repentance toward God. That's the gospel of God. Described with different words, yes. It was for them to change their mind to believe that Jesus is of God. And he's not a fraud. Not a F-R-A-U-D, fraud. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and something else here now, next came saving faith, the saving faith of the gospel of Christ. He says, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And coming down into Acts 26:18, he gives a report of when he was saved on the road to Damascus. He gives a report here toward the end of Acts, after he's been arrested. He's on his trip. Well, let's let that part go. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's good things. And from the power of Satan unto God. That's all turning from their ignorance and their rebellion against believing that Jesus was their Christ, risen from the dead. Turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. That's the gospel of God again, described with different words. For them to change their mind to believe that Jesus is of God. So, and next came the gospel of Christ. That the gospel of Christ forgives sins by Christ dying for them. Dying for your sins is more powerful than him forgiving your sins. It includes forgiveness of sins. But it's not just an excusing of your sins that would forgive them. It's taking the sin upon himself, knowing it was guilt, we were guilty, and knowing that we deserved the spiritual death, he died our death on the cross. So the verse goes on. Well, let me read the whole thing together this time. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive. So there's a break there. There's an option after the gospel of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there he separates them again in his report to Herod, was it, or to Agrippa in Acts 26, to the Roman king there. Let's just review that gospel of God the way Paul defines it for us. Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, pardon me, excuse me just a minute. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He's not worthless like a lot of people think. He's not just some other person. He is God's man sent out with our salvation information. Better respect what he says, because he's the mouthpiece of God for us. He speaks God's news, God's instructions for us. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And you've got a lot right there in that statement. So far, in what he calls him at the beginning of verse 4, declared to be the Son of... I skipped some. Back to verse 3. Concerning his Son... So that is talking about the sonship of Jesus Christ, his Son. Concerning his Son Jesus, that's what his name is. He's known by, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then Christ, he's called in that same series of words there. His Son, Jesus Christ, or Messiah. Not just the Son of God, but the Messiah, anointed one to rule the kingdom on earth and in heaven. He's our Lord. He's the Son of God, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. There it is again. How powerfully. With power, according to the Spirit of holiness, he's declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. So you've got the sonship of Jesus, the Messiahship of Jesus, and the resurrection from the dead. And that was those first four verses of Romans about the gospel of God. And then later on comes information about the gospel of Christ in verse 16. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not the gospel of God. The gospel of God is information, so we know who is eligible to take our sins on himself, Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 talks about the gospel of Christ, that he is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's God's power to save people, in other words, to everyone that believeth. But there's qualifications on it still during that time period. This was written most likely Acts 20, verse 3. And Paul wasn't sent out to all men until Acts 20, verse 6. But he knew he was being sent. So at that time, it was still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And later it was extended to all people, but not yet, and not the all the accommodating practices that you read about in Acts and that you read about in Paul's Acts epistles, Acts period epistles. Romans 15, verse 16, that I should be, this is Paul speaking, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's us. We want to find out how to come to God. We listen to Paul and the instructions God gave to Paul through Christ. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Not saved, it doesn't say, but might be acceptable. How did, before Paul's salvation and his being the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, what did the Gentiles have to do if they wanted to come to God? They had to bless Israel. Bless a Jew, fear God, you know, seek the wisdom and knowledge of God in the synagogues. They had to come to God through Israel. But no longer, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, letting them know who God is, who Jesus is, that he is God, that he's the Son of God, and that he's the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, so they could hear and believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. But they still had to believe it. But the bridge is... that's not a good analogy, I guess. But they were past... beyond that. They didn't need to bless the Jews. Jews are on the same level as the rest of us now. And they all, the Jews and the Gentiles, have to come to God by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God, today it's called, because it's a wider audience. Wider, W-I-D-E-R. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Beautiful verse, okay. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's what we just read up there, wasn't it? Sanctification, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, by the gospel of God. The gospel of God sanctifies toward hearing and believing when the gospel of Christ is preached to that person. So, that's not the end of the verse then. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You have to believe the gospel that saves. Gospel of God makes you eligible to hear it and believe it. It opens your ears, so to speak. You read in Acts 28, 25 through 29, verses 25 to 29 in Acts 28. You read how Israel's eyes and ears were closed, and they could no longer have that choice to come to God through the covenants. They had rebelled and fallen in Acts 7 and diminished throughout Acts, according to Romans 11, 12, and finally in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, they were cast away. The Lord inspired Paul to read Isaiah 6, casting away curse to them, and they were cast away. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 gives both stages there. The gospel of God, and then belief of the truth, when you hear the gospel of salvation. The word of truth is the gospel of salvation. And we find that in Ephesians 1:13, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Colossians, also at the beginning, Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6, it says the word of the truth of the gospel, of the grace of God. And then we go on to Colossians 2:14, whereunto, in other words, he called you by our gospel to the belief of the truth. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, of the glory of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. There we go. Got it right. Looking in the account of Paul when he went to Athens, Acts 17, we'll start in verse 16, but especially we want to see verses 32 and 33. But starting in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. So he had sent Timotheus and Silas. I believe it was Silas, wasn't it? Yeah, Silas. He sent Timotheus particularly to Thessalonica to preach to them the gospel of Christ, because when he had been in Thessalonica, when Paul had been in Thessalonica and preached the gospel of God, the Jews didn't like it and they chased him out of town. And Paul did not get a chance to preach the gospel of salvation to him, the gospel of Christ. He sent back Timothy to do that. So while he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. Spirit with a lowercase s. Spirit, meaning his attitude, was stirred in him. When he saw the whole city, the city wholly given to idolatry. Next verse, verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. There you see the Jews and the Greeks again. The devout persons are people that are not in the first category of being Jews, so they're Gentiles, but they had a fear of God. They wanted to be right with God, and God was working through the covenants until Paul was saved, working with mankind through the covenants of Israel. I need to start that verse again because let's start 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. It doesn't specify who they were here, but you've got the meeting of Paul. You've got people that were positive toward what Paul was preaching, meeting with him. That's the body of Christ after they're saved. It's Paul's meetings before that. Who did it say met with him in that temporary mixed meeting? It was the Jews and the Greeks. Going to verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. In other words, the gospel of God. The facts about who Jesus is. There is the scripture that Paul preached the gospel of God first before ever mentioning the gospel of salvation. They called him a babbler. Said he preached strange gods, Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 19, they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Verse 20, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing. Sounds familiar. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. Verse 23, for as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse 28, verse 27, not far from every one of us, they were just down the street from the synagogue. They could have, been the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue that got to hear the gospel. But as we go on, we'll see it's different. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For inasmuch as then as we are offspring of God, and that would be in the sense of He created mankind, the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That involves the gospel of God. Repent of what? Repent of not believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. All men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. So that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're getting down to these two verses that we said are momentous here. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Think about it. When they rejected the resurrection of the dead, they were rejecting a good part of the gospel of God. By rejecting the gospel of God, the Athenians rejected their opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. Verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Did you hear that first word? So means because they rejected the gospel of God, they did not get to hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. So Paul departed from among them. Those Jews, Greeks, and alien Gentiles in Athens, quite a mixture there, they did not get to hear the gospel of salvation because they did not receive the gospel of God that Paul preached to them. The gospel of God was preliminary and prerequisite. What happened upon belief? Well, they believed. Part held with Paul and his doctrine, the doctrine of salvation that he preached, or the gospel of God first, as we've seen, and part did not. There was a division in the Jews and Greeks in the synagogues. Some of them consorted with Paul. They departed from the synagogue, and Paul separated out the believers in the gospel of God. And to those separated ones, he preached the gospel of Christ. Now, there were exceptions, because not breaking the rule, but I'm just saying, sometimes he wasn't there. He hadn't been to Rome yet. Phoebe got to go with the letter, delivered the letter of Romans to those in Rome. His fellow workers, he talks about Epaphroditus, Silas, Barnabas, Mark for a while. Yeah, there were a lot of helpers that sometimes would appear at these meetings and preach and teach them. It says they were separate. And you know what? They clave to him. That was another step after they believed. They clave to Paul and wanted to hear more. And that's what I think it's 1 Thessalonians, it's not in the verse list, 2:13 and 14, is it? Yeah, explains what went on, not the details of what went on, but that's not what I'm thinking of here, Well, it's in two places. let me put the first one there. And the other half is 2. Yeah, here it is. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. That's the condition. Believe it for it to work in you. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. So when Paul would go and preach the gospel of God, during that period God was calling the people that he knew would believe the gospel. Foreknew is the word used in Romans 8. Called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that involved the gospel of Christ, the salvation gospel, to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they got to hear Paul and Paul's helpers, and they would preach the doctrine. If they obtained the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were in Christ, seated in heavenly places, like we, like Ephesians tells us. That's an early hint of the same of the Ephesians 1, verse 3 and verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6 in Ephesians. So, when they believed, that's Acts, let's go through some of the accounts where it tells about the believing part of that series of things they went through. Acts 13, 39 and 48, by him all that believe are justified, will be justified when the Lord returns, like Israel had to wait for. By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's different and it's better. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Look at Acts 14 now, a couple verses there. Verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. A great multitude believed. Wow. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, the Lord was preparing for something here, the elders part. When they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they believed. More faith there, more believing. Let's go to Thessalonica and see what happened. Acts 17, verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. There you've got that consortium again, the meeting. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. Verse 12. Therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Come down to verse 34, still in Athens. Howbeit, I think the one we just read was in Berea, so this Acts 17:34 is the first one in Athens. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him. There's the claving. They realized what he said was important, and it made him dear to them, and them dear to him. Clave unto him, and believed, among which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So in that crowd at Athens that rejected the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is, there were some believers, others with them. It says Dionysius and Damaris and others with them. Let's look in, this would be in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, just west of Athens. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. That's the series there, hearing and believing. And if you've heard and believed the gospel of God, when you hear the gospel of Christ, you can believe it. Some were still baptizing because it was still before Paul's temple vision in Acts 18, verse 8. Paul's temple vision was probably when Christ sent Paul not to baptize, that he talked about in 1 Corinthians, written in Acts 19. So, going on in Acts 18, verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Through grace, God's attribute of grace. Or believed through grace may refer to the body of Christ believers in that still mixed meeting. Notice there's no mention there of a general dispensing of anything, not a general dispensing of grace. So that talking about Apollos, it's quite likely that Apollos was a Jew. He certainly did not accept Paul's authority when Paul, said for him to go to meet with some people. He said, "I'll do it when I have a convenient time." So I take it that he was under Peter's authority, not Paul's. But going on, Acts 19, verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So this was, I'm trying to get through this list. I think we'll leave that as it is. Acts 21, verse 25, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. So, in other words, the Gentiles that believed, they didn't try to rope them into Israel, into the covenants. They realized there was a difference. But they wanted, it's called a diminishing. It's a gradual changing over. It's called a dispensing of the gospel, dispensation of the gospel. Paul was to introduce the gospel to them, to dispense it, begin the dispensing of it prior to the dispensation of the grace of God that we're in today. But it was the same body of Christ they were being saved to. It was the same gospel message, just wider audience after the initial giving of the gospel. And these four things that are mentioned were accommodations so that the influx of all the Gentiles that had been alienated from God by their wicked works. You can read that in Romans 1 from about 22 through 28. I don't want to be them. let's go on. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So tongues are a sign to them that believe not. But prophesying or professing God's word, especially in that time, it would be professing the newly revealed word of God that was revealed to Paul, and these prophesiers or prophets in the body of Christ are different than the prophets that would profess to Israel in the Old Testament. These were prophets. Their job, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, let me see if I got it. Is that in the list? No. 1 Corinthians 14:37. That their job is to acknowledge that what Paul preached was what the Lord, was the Word of God, what God commanded him to preach. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not for them to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying or professing God's newly revealed word, or his Bible in today's world, prophesying serveth not them which believe not, but for them which believe. What is for us that believe? Professing God's word. We need to read God's word, study it, tell it to others, profess it to others. Tongues are to them are not to them that believe, it says in that verse. That's 14:22 in 1 Corinthians. Two verses later, it says, but if all prophesy or profess, and there come in one that believeth not. Now that gives you a picture of what's going on in the early Paul's meetings, the mixed multitude. There were some that had been Jews, and there were some that had been believing Gentiles or Greeks, and there were some that had been alien Gentiles. There come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, and he's judged of all. In other words, hearing the word judges him, convicts him. 2 Corinthians 6:15. What concord hath Christ and Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So they were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:7. Going on to 1 Thessalonians 2:10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And here's that verse again about how we grow. It's the middle part of the establishing of believers. It starts with believing, and then studying the Word of God, being a good workman, and then understanding that we're not Israel, that we can't be saved Israel's way. Nobody can be saved by Israel's gospel anymore. Israel has fallen, and that's what Romans 9, 10, and 11 tells us about. But here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in also in you that believe. If you want God's word to work in you, you have to believe it. Finally, we'll close after this verse, but 1 Timothy 1:16 ends with a brief, abbreviated, condensed form of the gospel. Howbeit, for this cause, Paul says, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And that's what we wish each one would do, is believe on Christ to life everlasting. He supplies life everlasting. He earned it by dying for our sins on the cross and shedding his blood. Okay, I'm done for tonight, this lesson, and we'll plan on picking up at chapter 4, verse 4 of this study tomorrow, the next part. Any comments, questions, clarifications needed?